Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church and on Facebook at facebook.com/abundantassembly. And now, on to this week's message.
Here in China, there is such darkness. But even in the midst of this darkness, we are experiencing God's victory. I became a believer 10 years ago. I heard about Christ when I was on a business trip. After that, my entire family came to Christ. But we are not free to share our faith with others. If you are spreading the gospel, Chinese government treat you as a criminal. They want to control the number of Christians. They want to control what God is doing. I hear from time to time of brothers and sisters being persecuted and arrested. Last week, a good friend of mine was taken by the Chinese police. He was questioned and then beaten so bad that he almost died. All because of spreading the gospel. In the city, everywhere you look, there are apartments. Since we can't meet in public, our ministry takes place in the buildings we live in. In the evenings, brothers and sisters in Christ gather together in homes. This is our church. If you ask people on the street, most have never heard of Christ or read the Bible. No one in their family is a believer. The dangers here are driven by darkness, and that darkness can be quite fearful, especially when I think of my family. But God never fears, and He will overcome. So I want to go and share, despite being at risk. I minister to the neighbors that live next door or upstairs. I visit them often. I listen and I share in their life. When I get the chance, I tell the story of Jesus Christ and we pray. And the Holy Spirit works. Every week, we see new people come to Christ. Only 2 weeks ago, an amazing thing happened. We discovered there was another home church meeting at the top of this very same building. In our own building, God had brought up another fellowship. That really humbled us. In the midst of all the darkness, all the persecution, the Holy Spirit is moving. He continues to prepare the hearts of people in China. Every day, I have the opportunity to share the love of Jesus Christ, even if it means I could go to prison. For who can have victory over God? Nobody, no matter what country.
Yeah. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that we can come together and that we can learn about you and about what you have to speak to us this morning, Lord God. And Lord, as we see videos like this and as we see the hardship that other people in other countries are going through when they serve you and when they try to live out the mission to advance the good news of Jesus into the world, Lord, we're humble. And we are grateful for the blessings that you've given us. But Lord, I ask that we will not become complacent, but that we will learn how we can better step forward and advance the gospel in our own communities, in our own province, in our own nation, Lord God, and throughout the world. And so Lord, today I ask that you'll be working in our hearts, Lord, and that you'll take these feeble human words that I am about to speak and that you will make them something worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. If sharing your faith meant that you might lose your children, or that you may be arrested or beaten or stripped naked and humiliated in front of your friends and loved ones, or even if it meant that you may be killed, would you still do it? What if it just meant that you might lose your job, or you might lose some close friends, or that your neighbors might say mean things to you? Would you even be willing to tell people that you are a Christian, let alone sharing with them what that means? What are you willing to suffer, to lose, to endure for the sake of the mission of Jesus Christ, that mission that he has given to every single person who believes in his name? You see, Jesus gave us two great commands, the foundation of the Christian faith, if you will. And the first one was what we call the Great Commandment. Love the Lord your God with everything you have, your whole body, your whole mind, your whole strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. The second thing that he gave us that we need to be doing is the Great Commission, which is to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that Jesus has commanded us. And yet he also told us that if any would follow him, that they would have to deny themselves and take up the cross, that object of torture, of humiliation and death, that they would have to take it up daily in order to follow him. But of course, God knew that we couldn't do it on our own. He knew that we, in our own strength, in our own power and ability, would not be able to go forward and advance the gospel on our own with all the opposition that would come our way. And so he sent the Holy Spirit to us, to all believers, to work within all who give themselves to Jesus and to completely fill to overflowing those who seek to be filled. Why did he do this? Because Spirit-filled people are spirit-led and spirit empowered to advance the good news of the love and the forgiveness that we can have in Jesus Christ. You see, if you want to see this community and this world changed for Jesus, you can no longer be content to avoid pain and discomfort. Instead, you must seek the boldness of the Holy Spirit and advance into what God has called you to, ready to suffer for the sake of offering Christ's gift of love to your neighbor. We've lived in a bit of a bubble for the last long while where the most suffering that we have to endure is maybe a bit of name calling. But the time is coming when things will return to the way that really they have always been around the world, where we will have to push forward through the strength of the Spirit in order to do what God has for us to do. Today, I want to look at the story of Jesus' top students called the apostles in Acts chapter 5, verse 12 to 42. Today, I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation to make it a little easier to follow along. The apostles were performing many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers were meeting regularly at the temple in the area known as Solomon's Colonnade. But no one else dared to join them, even though all the people had high regard for them. Yet more and more people believed and were brought to the Lord, crowds of both men and women. As a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought out into the street on beds and mats so that Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as he went by. Crowds came from the villages around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those possessed by evil spirits, and they were all healed. The high priest and his officials, who were Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But an angel of the Lord came at night, opened the gates of the jail, and brought them out. Then he told them, go to the people and give the people this message of life. So at daybreak, the apostles entered the temple as they were told and immediately began teaching. When the high priest and his officials arrived, they convened the high council, the full assembly of the elders of Israel. Then they sent for the apostles to be brought from the jail for trial. But when the temple guards went to the jail, the men were gone. So they returned to the council and reported, the jail was securely locked, with the guards standing outside, but when we opened the gates, no one was there. When the captain of the temple guard and the leading priests heard this, they were perplexed, wondering where it would all end. Then someone arrived with startling news. The men you put in the jail are standing in the temple teaching the people. The captain went with his temple guards and arrested the apostles, but without violence, for they were afraid that the people would stone them. Then they brought the apostles before the high council, where the high priest confronted them. We gave you strict orders never again to teach in this man's name, he said. Instead, you have filled all Jerusalem with your teaching about him, and you want to make us responsible for his death. But Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead after you killed him by hanging him on a cross. Then God put him in the place of honor at his right hand as prince and savior. He did this so the people of Israel would repent of their sins and be forgiven. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, who is given by God to those who obey him. When they heard this, the high council was furious and decided to kill them. But one member, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, who was an expert in religious law and respected by all the people, stood up and ordered that the men be sent outside the council chamber for a while. And then he said to his colleagues, my advice is, leave these men alone. Let them go. If they are planning and doing these things merely on their own, it will soon be overthrown. But if it is from God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You may even find yourselves fighting against God. The others accepted his advice. They called in the apostles and had them flogged. Then they ordered them never again to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. Will you all read this next part with me? The apostles left the high council rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they continued to teach and preach this message. Jesus is the Messiah.
How amazing is it that after all of this had happened, the apostles continued to share the good news of Jesus? They continued to go out boldly and tell people about who Christ is. But not only that, but look at their response to being beaten. See, the Sanhedrin, they relented from having them killed, but instead they stripped them of their shirts. They beat their bare skin with a tripled strip of calf's hide, two blows to the back, followed by one blow to the chest, over and over again until each man had endured 39 lashes. And yet they left not bitter, not fearful, but rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. That is the joy of the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit in the believers. These Spirit-filled people are Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered to advance. Praise God. But that doesn't rid us of the fact that following Jesus into pain and into rejection is really scary stuff. Right? I mean, it's really scary stuff. In our society right now, there really isn't this huge danger of bodily harm coming from advancing the gospel. I mean, really. I mean, when's the last time that you heard of somebody in Canada getting the snot beaten out of them because they were preaching Jesus? I mean, I'm sure it happens, but it doesn't happen frequently. Instead, we worry ourselves sick that we're going to experience rejection or humiliation or the feeling of being alone, and I don't want to belittle those things. Those are serious forms of persecution, difficulty that we will face. However, there is great comfort for you in the fact that God has said you will never be alone. never be alone. See, when God came to earth as a fully human child, he lived, suffered, died, was buried, and then rose again and ascended into heaven. He took this covenant, that is an unbreakable promise that had been made between God and the people of Israel, where God had said, listen, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And he took all of us who believe in the name of Jesus, in his work, in his might, and he added us into that covenant. And so now the same is true for us, that he will never leave you and he will never forsake you when you believe in his name. See, there will never be a time when God turns his back on one of his followers. Even in those moments where you feel like he's not there, where everything's going wrong and it doesn't seem like your prayers are being answered, he's there in the midst of it, watching over you, caring for you. I don't know if you're familiar with that old poem, Footsteps in the Sand, where this person watches, going through all these difficult times, as they look back on the beach, they notice that God's footprints at one point disappear. And he notices that that's at the most difficult points in his life, and he starts to freak out, God, why did you abandon me at the moment that I needed you the most? And then God's response is, no, those aren't your footprints. They're mine, because in those times I picked you up and I carried you. See, in your mistakes and your flaws, you aren't separated from him, because the sacrifice of Jesus has restored the relationship between you and God. And now instead of your garbage being piled up between you and between God, God and you now pass through it together. He helps you through. When others reject you, you're not alone, because God is with you. And let me tell you, your church family is with you too. I think too often we neglect the importance of our church family. But these people, as you attend service, as you get to know them, these people love you genuinely. They love you. And so I hope that when you're going through difficult times, that your first response is not to pull away, but instead to push forward. Because we're here for you. And God's here for you. See, when you serve Christ, even in the face of rejection sometimes of some of those that are the most close to you, you will never be alone. But what about pain? What about difficult circumstances? How are we to face those? How are we to deal with suffering? Well, an important thing to remember is that God offers his children great hope. Will there be times where you feel as though you can't make it? The times where you don't have the strength or the courage or the resources to do what God has led you to do? Yes, absolutely. There will be times that happens, but in that place of hopelessness, you need only turn to God, because he offers you the great hope of provision. See, Jesus challenged his followers not to worry about tomorrow, but to let tomorrow worry about itself. There's a great example, illustration, story that comes from the life of my mom, actually, when she was a child. As a child, her family lived in a trailer, and they drove from place to place throughout the United States as children's evangelists. And so they would go into these churches, and my grandpa would do some ventriloquism, and they'd do some music, and run these kids' evangelistic programs. And as you can imagine, doing this kind of thing, you didn't make a whole lot of money. In fact, they were dirt poor. And so what they oftentimes would do is, in those moments where there was no money, no provision for them, they would get together as a family and they would write out a shopping list, and then they would pray for it. They wouldn't go shopping. They'd just pray for the list. And time after time after time, in any number of ways, their needs were met. But there was on one particular occasion, my aunt, a very young girl at the time, she, as they were putting together the list, said, you know, Mom, I would really, really like some time to be able to have some root beer pop. I really want some root beer. And so my grandma, she said, well, you know what? Let's put it on the list and let's see what God does. And so they put it on the list and they prayed for the list. And then sometime later, this woman showed up at their door, the door of their trailer, and there was a knock, and they opened the door. And she said, you know, I'd been grocery shopping and I ended up buying like all this extra food. And you guys just came to mind, and I figured, do you guys need some of this food? And my grandma's like, yes, we need this food. Thank you so much. And then the lady, as she handed the bag over, said, and I also happened to pick up this bottle of root beer. And do you guys like root beer? Like, is this something that you want? See, God provides for people when we have faith, when we trust in him. And the provision's not always the way that you want. Sometimes we ask for stupid stuff. And sometimes he gives it to us. And sometimes we regret him giving it to us. But God provides. He gives us hope in his provision. Not only that, he doesn't just provide the things that we need to eat or shelter, but the Holy Spirit also provides us with the things that we need in order to advance and share the gospel. For example, look at the story of the apostles. Here's these men who, when Jesus was arrested just a short time earlier, turned around and ran. They were like, nope, sorry, I'm out of here. I value my head. And now all of a sudden, in the face of all this persecution, of being warned time and time again, like, you guys need to shut up or bad things are going to happen to you, they had boldness. Not their boldness. We talked about last week, they prayed for boldness. And then they have these words, and as they're speaking these words time and time again, people look at them, they're like, we know where these guys are from. Like, these guys are not well-educated. Like, they're bottom of the barrel. They maybe graduated grade 2. And yet, look at these, like, they're just putting out these crazy legal arguments and religious arguments, and they're so fluent in what they're saying. How is this possible? It wasn't them. Miracles. It wasn't them. It's God. God provides what we need when we trust in him to provide. But his provision isn't the only kind of hope that he offers you. He also gives you the hope of protection. See, the apostles were arrested in this passage here, and then what happened? They're freed by an angel. Like, an actual angel comes and lets them out of prison. Is that not awesome? And then, you see, he let them out of prison because he still had more for them to do. But then more than that, they're arrested. They're brought back before the council. And the council wants to kill them. But then he inspires this Pharisee. A Pharisee, this religious leader who opposed Jesus. Inspired to speak on their behalf and save them. Provided protection for them. Now, at the same time, something that I find very interesting is that most of the apostles were tortured throughout their ministries and even faced gruesome and painful deaths. And yet, day after day, they experienced and talked about the protection of God. Isn't that interesting? What does it mean? I believe that it means that nothing can happen to someone who is faithfully walking in Christ's footsteps. Hang on a second, that can short-circuit the plans that God has for you. And I know that sometimes we're like, God, I don't understand the plans that you have for me. If this isn't short-circuiting those plans, there's a problem here, God. But nothing can short-circuit the plans that God has for you to accomplish for the sake of his kingdom. You can be sure that you'll have what you need, that you'll be kept from the things that will keep you from what God has for you as you walk the path that he has set before you. At the same time, knowing that this world is full of pain and suffering due to the curse that came upon our rejection of God, and that we are not exempt from going through those things. If you ever go to a church and they tell you that as a Christian you will never get sick and that you will never suffer and that you will have a Maserati, if that's what you desire, run. Because they're ignoring most of the Bible, where we're told that we will suffer, that we will experience pain and trial. No, see, instead, as those who have been told by God that he will never leave us, that he will never forsake us, we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can mere humans do to me? You see, our great hope is the hope of future glory, of spending an eternity in heaven with our Creator and Father who loves us beyond our greatest imagining. So how can we fear man? when there's greater things in store if they do anything that takes our life. The Apostle Paul understood that there is great hope from God, both in life and in death, as he wrote from prison to the church of Philippi, saying, "Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. My desire is to depart and to be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account." And so whatever happens, it's done with the knowledge that we can have hope. Hope of provision, hope of protection, and hope of future glory. Praise be to God. I hope that you've noticed this morning that pain and suffering and rejection are not abnormal parts of the Christian life. Right? The apostles went through it. We may go through it. Yet in the Western church, too many of us have determined that difficulties or apparently insurmountable odds are signs that we ought to get out of whatever we're doing, that what we thought that God had called us to, we must have been mistaken because things are too hard now. You know, he inspired us to do this thing, but no, you know what, that must have just been me because things are going wrong, so it can't be the truth. It can't be the way that it is. We think that if the road ahead of us has not been cleared of every single obstacle, that my goodness, we gotta backtrack and we gotta find God's path for us again. But you know, this attitude is completely unbiblical. It's just plain untrue. Understand today that resistance is not a sign that God isn't in what you're doing. Let me say that again. Resistance is not a sign that God is not in what you're doing. Now, are there situations where God steers you in another direction? Yeah, of course there are. And are there times where we're doing things that we think are good, but that are what God really doesn't have in store for us? Yeah. But imagine what would have happened if the apostles in the early church had decided that, you know, the beatings, the torment, the executions, the humiliation, it was all a sign from God that they just shouldn't tell anybody about the gospel anymore. Can you imagine what the church would look like today? Probably be really small. And the only reason I give it that much is because God, or Jesus said that he would preserve his church, right? So there has to be at least a little bit of a church left. But it wouldn't look the same as it is today. You see, there should be no greater joy for a Christian than to be counted worthy of suffering for the name of Jesus Christ, just as the apostles did. And I don't mean that in a masochistic way. Let me define masochism. You shouldn't seek out pain in order to derive some kind of sick pleasure. Okay, we don't look for the pain. We don't look for the suffering. But you should understand that suffering, that resistance, can actually be a sign that you are on the right track, that you are walking the same road that Jesus walked, and that you are sharing in his suffering just as he promised that those who follow him would. See, friends, there's a war that is waging for the hearts of the men and women of this world. A war that really has already been won through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, but which the enemy is still fighting. When you're walking the path that God has set before you, you will never be alone, and you can have the great hope of Jesus Christ, but you will also find that the enemy turns his sights on you and that he will stop at nothing to see you fail, or at the very least to see your intentions and your motivations get turned away from God. So at all times, seek God's direction, but do not make the mistake of believing that the easy road is always the right one. Don't make the all too common error of thinking that you've made a wrong turn because you've encountered resistance. Instead, at all times, be determined to take every step with your eyes open to God's will, whether that step takes you into trouble or into a season of peace, of ease. So today, let me ask you a question. Are you willing to advance into our community and into our world with the good news of Jesus, come whatever may? Do you truly love God and love your neighbor? Do you truly want to see them have a life-giving relationship with one another? Do you want to see the least in our town finding richness in Jesus Christ? the abused finding hope, the abuser finding conviction in a new way of living, the purposeless finding purpose. Because if this is what you want, and I truly hope that all of you want these things, then we must seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to advance with the good news of Jesus, come whatever may. Because Spirit-filled people are Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered to advance. We watched that video of Li Yang talking about the church in China. And you know, he has had these moments of loneliness where it seems like his family must be the only Christians on the face of the planet. And everything is just so closed in and he feels all alone. And he's had friends who've experienced great persecution at the hands of their government. And he knows the risks that he faces every single time he goes out and mentions the name of Jesus. Yet in the power of the Holy Spirit, he goes to his neighbors with love. And he shares with them Jesus' name, whatever the cost may be. And he's seen God work in mighty and spectacular ways. Even in the face of difficulty, Spirit-filled people are Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered to advance. And so here's how I hope that you will advance this week. Advance into what God has been urging you to do. What do I mean by that? Find that one thing that God has been calling you to do, but that you've been dragging your feet to actually do. Or maybe it's that thing that he called you to do, but you gave up on because of resistance or pressure or fearfulness. And then advance into it with the direction, the boldness, and the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, maybe it's something as simple as taking that block map that we handed out a number of weeks ago and finding that empty space and finally saying, I've had enough of not knowing that neighbor's name and going next door and knocking on their door and saying, hi, I feel bad because I've lived next to you for 12 years and I have no idea what your name is. Be that person. Maybe it's something that you felt for a while that you need to introduce, or not introduce, but invite a colleague or a neighbor or somebody over to your house, and maybe it's for a lunch, maybe it's for a board game or tea, whatever it is that fits with you and fits with them, and you've been dragging your feet on it because you're afraid that they're going to say no, or you're afraid that they're going to look at your house and then look down on you, whatever it may be. Maybe now's the time that you step forward into that thing that God has been calling you to do. Maybe it's that there's a ministry that God has laid on your heart that you need to begin. And you're thinking, look, God, I haven't been to Bible college. How am I supposed to run a ministry? How am I supposed to do these things that you have in front of me? And maybe he's just telling you right now that you need to just step out in faith and do this thing. Begin the preparations so that you can start this ministry he's laid on your heart. Or maybe it's that you've got a friend and you know that this friend is in a place where he or she is ready to hear your personal faith story. The story of how you came to Christ or how Christ has worked in your life, and you've been dragging your feet on it because you know that once you go there, things are going to be different. And so maybe now is the time that you actually take that step of faith in the boldness of the Spirit and you advance with that. See, whatever it is that God has for you to do, I hope this week that you will begin to advance into what he's been urging you to do. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word, Lord. I thank you that in the midst of the challenges that come our way or any persecution that may come our way, Lord God, that we don't have to fear, but that we can go forward in the boldness of the Spirit that you have given us, Lord God. Lord, I ask that you'll give us the strength that we need when we need it, that we will be faithful, that we will put our trust in you, Lord God. Just as Indiana Jones had to step out and make that step of faith and the path was there, I ask that the same will happen in our lives, Lord, that even though we don't see the next step, we know what you have for us. And as we take that step, that we find that there is solid ground underneath our feet, Lord Jesus. Lord, today I ask for every single person here a new and fresh filling of your Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Just stay in this moment here and begin to pray your own prayer to God. Just ask him to work in you and to strengthen you and to give you what you need. And right now, I want to talk to anybody that's in this room and you haven't made a commitment to Jesus as your master, as your savior. You haven't made him the end-all, be-all in your life, but maybe you've been seeking him for a while. And you just, you know in your heart of hearts right now that he is God and that he has done what he said he has done for you. And so if you've been seeking him and you're ready to commit your life to him and become a child of God, adopted into the family of God, I want you to pray this prayer with me. No one looking around. Let's pray together. God, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. And I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Abundant Springs Podcast. Tune in next week for more Bible-based encouragement.